Hello, everyone. My name is Ryan, and welcome to High Tech on Life. And welcome, everybody, to part three of Tesla Week. Every day, we are talking about Tesla, some different aspect of the company. In part one, we went through the history of the company, where they were, how they started out, and where they are going. In part two, we talked about the motors side of Tesla, the different models that they have, and how they developed those over time. And today we're going to talk about, in part three, one of my favorite, honestly, it's my favorite of the Tesla stuff. And I am very weird this way, but it is my favorite stuff because it makes the most sense as far as what battery power can do for us. And that is their powerhouse idea, their solar town concept that Elon Musk has been talking about. Now, this appeals to me as someone who believes in self-reliance and being able to take care of yourself and not relying on others, any other people, family, friends, your government, anything to help you in life, and being able to take care of yourself. I am all for being prepared and not, like I said in part one, it's not to the prepper level. Like, I don't hoard everything. I don't have a bunker in my backyard for when the bombs start flying. I don't have that. And I'm not against that. I think people who do that have their reasons, and I think it is very good to be prepared. So I have always had this idea in my head to get off the grid. I tried doing it with television, and I know this is a weird analogy, but I was of the cut the cord mentality with television. I got the old aerial up, the digital antenna, at one of my first apartments that we lived in. And we did have internet coming into the house, but we didn't have television. We decided that we didn't want television at all. And I was seeing the direction the television was going and that it would be more of an a la carte type thing. And it really is. I mean, these days you still have the networks, but they've had to adapt into a more streaming on demand type architecture or business plan to really capture on what we're doing these days. I mean, we've got Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, a million others that offer up, like Disney Channel offers up their content on the Apple TV and on many other players. And you can subscribe to that. You can just have the Disney Channel if you want. So anyways, we were of the cut the cord mentality. We didn't want to have to be reliant on, we didn't want to spend $200 a month on television that we weren't going to watch. So we ended up doing the aerial to get, you know, network television. And in all honesty, if you guys ever just want to have network TV and then do your Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime separately, so you get all your favorite shows, but you can still tune into network television, the quality that you get from like a digital antenna versus the quality you get from a cable service provider is night and day different, because the stuff that you get directly from the antenna, from the aerial, is an HD signal, and it's still compressed, but it's not to the level that the cable companies do. They compress that. They run it through a lot of different switches and converters and things to work with their systems, and then they deliver it out to you. And while it might look good on your television, it looks better if you're just getting the direct signal from the tower. So do that. If you don't care about all these cable channels and all you watch is Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and do things a la carte like HBO now and all the different companies, Major League Baseball, ESPN, those companies that allow that and offer that to you. Think about that. Think about just going straight to internet, whether it be DSL or we have a couple of companies here in Utah that just offer it over the air, or you can get just internet from the cable company. And that's what we do. We just get internet from the cable company because really they're the only ones available in our area that give me the speeds that I need to produce audio. Okay, anyways, getting off on that tangent. The whole point is that we are trying to cut the cord. And I've always wanted to do that with the power company because, as I explained in part one, we only have one power company here in Utah. And it's probably like that in other places too, but I've lived in places where there have been a couple different power companies. And they each took a section of the Metroplex or the surrounding areas. So you did have options on who you could choose. You know, you could choose to live in a place where this power company would supply you power, or you could live somewhere else if you didn't like that power company for whatever reason. And we don't like companies. Sometimes we get on the bad side of companies because in my case here, I can't go to another power company because, you know, if Rocky Mountain Power, I think that's, they might've changed their name, but Rocky Mountain Power, if they piss me off and they treat me badly, which they haven't, they've been really good. But if they did that and I wanted to cut ties with them, I can't because they're the only power supplier. So I have been all for some way to cut the cord, go off the grid and produce our own electricity, our own power. And I remember watching, I think I just randomly tuned into a press conference that Tesla was having. That was back in 2015. I think it was, I was just sitting there and I saw that they were doing a live, it was uploaded later and I watched it because it's Tesla. You watch stuff from Tesla. It's like SpaceX. You watch stuff from SpaceX because they're going to unveil something that's freaking incredible. And they did not let down this. They decided to release their Powerwall. And at first you're thinking, what the heck is this for? And it's to power your house. Like, I think they kind of think of it as a backup to the main power. That's really the main goal of it, or the main idea behind it is that of backup power for when you're in emergency situations. They also mention that these are the kind of things that can be sent out to third world countries and places that don't have electricity and they can't afford it. And individuals with more means than I have, let's say, could go to these places and install a power wall and some solar panels, and then that little town or village would have electricity available to them, which is huge. I mean, you think about how much we rely on electricity, and it's just, it's phenomenal how much we actually use. I think in the United States, we currently, our grids countrywide produce less power than what we actually consume. Or it's right around there. We're really on the edge of it. So to be able to convert these kind of resources over to solar energy would be a huge thing. And especially, like I said, for people who can't, or for areas of the world at this point who can't afford it. Now, we could go into all sorts of political issues, you know, if you did that. How long would it take for the government to come in and regulate that and take that from those people? How many people are oppressed by corrupt governments who are going to, you know, it doesn't matter what you put there. It's, you know, those people are not going to be able to keep it because of who's in charge in that country. That's a whole other thing. But the idea is there, the idea that these can easily be deployed and can provide that power to anybody in the world is just an amazing, amazing thought. And if that's really what their goal was with these, if that was their end goal, then they're an amazing company to stand behind, because that is one of the most selfless things that you can do is serving other people. And I expect them to do that a little later down the line. And not only because, you know, the press would be amazing, the good press from that, but I think most people over there really do care about that kind of stuff and they really want to help out others. So looking into these power walls, and we have to bring up a couple of different issues based on how we go about charging our electric cars. And at this point, you know, before you even cut the line to the power company, everybody knows where that power comes from. There's many different types of power generation. You know, there's windmills that are really good. There's hydroelectric plants like it. The one that I've seen is Hoover Dam. I've been on a tour of that place and it does that, and it provides electricity to a lot of areas south of it. And those kind of resources are great for creating electricity. But most of it is done these days by coal power plants. And those kind of places are going to continue to burn coal in order to produce the electricity that we need. And we do need that electricity. Like, we cannot jump away from that yet. And as much as people knock and despise nuclear energy because of some of the scares that have happened in the past, I think that is still a viable option. I know I'm in the minority on that, but I think it's a viable option because you think about when Chernobyl and Three Mile Island happened. That is such a long time ago, and the exponential growth of technology since then really brings down any odds of something catastrophic happening. There are so many fail-safes in place that won't allow those kind of things to happen again. But the damage is already done from those two places, and I think the one in Japan that happened. And there's also some misconceptions on that one. Everybody uses those kind of things to their own, you know, their own agenda. And if you go and read a little bit further into it, there's some issues. Anyways, you guys can read into that and see. But I still think that's a viable option. But one of the ones that's really coming up that Tesla has decided to back and they're pushing really hard on is solar energy. And those also solar panels have really come a long way in the last few years. And we also have to remember that exponential growth with solar panels, because from year to year, they are going to keep getting better. Eventually, we'll be able to have what Tesla wants. It's the same kind of thing with how they started to develop their cars. And they started with something that, with the Roadster, where it was something that said, hey, here's what we can do. It's not perfect, but it's a good car. And that's, I think, what they're doing with solar panels. Is solar panels have been around for a long time. We know them. They're in our little calculators. They're on our roofs. They heat, you know, my brother got a solar array to heat his water, that kind of stuff. They've been around and they are very close. I don't think they're quite there yet. They still have to mature a little bit more. We need to build up that technology. I'm not an expert in it by any means, but I see how many panels you need to produce a certain amount of wattage that is needed in your home. And it can be a lot. It can be a lot of panels that you need. You see these solar farms that are massive. And I remember seeing, and I don't know how accurate this is. I really would wish someone would do the math on this. Elon Musk, when he initially announced the Powerwall, he had a slide that had a little spot in, I think, New Mexico, a little square in New Mexico that said, this is all the solar panels we would need to provide power to the entire United States. And it was a teeny little square. I don't know how many square miles it actually covered. I think it was around, it looked like maybe 250 square miles. And I still don't think that's enough. I think, and maybe that was his point. I think that was his point he was getting across was, look, we can do it with this much, but there's so many roofs in this country that if we all had solar panels on our roofs, that's more than enough real estate to take care of all of us. And that's the whole thing behind creating these power walls. And they also have these massive power pack batteries that are for commercial use, which I think those would be an amazing thing to see implemented. We'll see where they're doing that. I know Apple in their new facility, they are heavily on solar power. If not completely on solar power, I think they're trying to do like a zero emission facility. Now, recently, they announced the solar roof, and I actually didn't watch that full one. I was really busy at the time, so I didn't get a chance to watch it. But it's a very interesting concept. I talked about this a little bit in part one of this series, and it is a really cool concept because why not put a whole bunch of solar panels on your roof that look nice, that give you all the benefits of solar panels, but it doesn't look like you have solar panels on your roof. And I've been blinded by solar panels many times. They really just are not aesthetically pleasing on your house. A lot of people put them on the back of their house. Hopefully, you know, that's where you get the best sunlight. I think it's a wonderful idea. And when I build a house in the future, maybe that will be an option. But to go through and reshingle your house with these solar roof, I don't see that as the best option for the current home. Like, I see this being implemented into future home builds with cooperation from large cities or with builders. You know, I think they'll contract with builders to say, hey, look, this can be a selling point. You can actually pitch this to your customers that these are solar roofs with the power wall, and you don't have to depend on the power company. You can switch over to your solar power. That's going to be huge. Again, this is something that will get there, and I think they're going in the right direction, and they're getting very close to that. But what needs to happen is the price of solar needs to come down. It's the same thing with their cars. Like, the price of the Model S versus the price of the Model 3 is a huge difference and brings that technology into the price range of the average consumer. And when you're looking at the solar roof, it's something that can be implemented, but it needs to be at the same price as shingles. And I know that's a tough thing to do, because shingles are shingles. They're cheap to manufacture and they're easy to put on. Where this kind of thing, I'm sure there's a whole infrastructure underneath. So I understand. It's like the same thing I said yesterday with the cars, with the Model X and the Model S. I understand why they are so expensive. They have so much technology in them that it's totally worth that price. But because this is like a new technology or new idea, I should say, but the technology hasn't quite come down in price, it is within range. I mean, I think we figured in part one that I could do my house for about $31,000, $32,000. And in their analysis, that's what I would save over the 30-year loan of my house. Like, the 30 years that I am paying on my house, that's how much energy I would save, was about $32,000. So it basically pays for itself. I think out of pocket, after the savings and everything, I was technically paying $100 according to their calculator. Now, that is a great idea. That's a great way to pitch it. And I think a lot of people will jump on it because they have maybe 30 grand in equity in their house that they can do a line of credit on, or they can borrow against, and they can do this. And they, you know, it's very appealing, where you can see it as, I'm going to be saving all this money that I'm not paying to the power company, but it's going to take, it's like the long play, the long con. It's like you're taking 30 years to complete this master plan with your energy consumption, which definitely I think is very appealing. And like I said, if I could afford it and I was building a new house, I think I would jump on it. I think it would be a very good thing to look into and to consider. And if you're considering building a new house, definitely look into these and the power wall. You're going to be spending a lot up front, but yes, you will save that money later on down the road. If it's a house that you're going to stay in for the rest of your life, put it on right at the beginning. And these look really good. They look like normal shingles for the most part. They're very decorative. And they mix into that entire ecosystem, so to speak. The whole overall vision of solar panels, power wall, not relying on the power company, because the power company gets their power from evil coal companies, which, you know, we can discuss that another day. But this whole technology that is this grand idea, and the way that they've implemented this and the durability of it, and they've thought of pretty much everything. So it's amazing where they're going with this technology. And if they can implement it commercially, which they have been doing, we could be on our way to not having to worry about power companies and coal generated energy. It could be. I think the solar technology needs to mature just a teeny bit more. It's getting there. It is so close, but just a little bit more to be able to offer that power, the power that we normally consume, to make it seamless between what we consume now and what the solar panels are going to offer us is close, but not quite. Anyways, I'm going to leave it at that because if not, I'll just continue to babble about how the technology is not quite there. And one more thing on the power wall. Like I said earlier, I've always thought about getting a generator backup to be able to cut the cord. And I think the power wall should appeal to a lot of these prepper guys, because if you know about generators, all generators require some sort of fuel. So if you could be on some sort of reliable battery backup that self-generates using solar panels, that is the ultimate prepper delight, I think. Because if you are a prepper, look into this technology, because you won't run out of fuel unless the sun goes out, you know, unless the sun gets destroyed somehow and we're completely into a apocalyptic winter. You're going to have the sunlight and you will be able to live off of that battery power each day. Maybe not all day at first, but, you know, as the technology continues to grow and grow, we'll get to that point where you won't. It'd be the perfect option. Like the power goes out because you're in a storm. Like those people I mentioned in part one, those people who are in these areas that are prone to natural disaster, you're going to benefit from this even without noticing. Like, let's say you just use it as a backup. The power goes out from the power company. Your battery backup kicks on. You're still doing what you need to do. Like zero downtime. So this whole idea of a full, you know, home power backup, solar generated energy is the way of the future, I believe, especially with home power. We could talk about other things as far as with cars, power for cars. There are some other options besides electric that'll do the same thing. We could talk about those. Well, actually, I think we're going to talk about those in tomorrow's episode. But those kind of, but with the home, solar is the way to go. It is the way to go. It gives you what you need for the most part, and it gets you completely off the grid. So everybody, thank you for tuning in today in part three of Tesla Week. I've enjoyed researching this and getting information and really kind of forming my opinions on Tesla and just getting excited about what's coming in the future. Like I said, tomorrow we're going to talk about the whole car conundrum. You know, like I said in part one, let's get a little controversy in here and let's explore maybe some other options besides fully electric cars that we can look into. Like, what other natural sources that we have, resources that we have other than fossil fuels? Some of you probably know where I'm going with this, but you know, we will discuss that in tomorrow's episode. Anyways, thank you everyone for listening. As always, you can find us on iTunes. You can subscribe there. You can subscribe on Stitcher and SoundCloud. I think we're in the Google Play Store. Find us. Any podcast player should have us. Just search for High Tech on Life and we'll come right up. You can subscribe, like the episodes, comment on the episodes if you can. On SoundCloud, you can comment on every single one of these episodes. Let me know if you like what I'm talking about or if you think I'm up in the night. Share them with your friends. Share them on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're also on there at High Tech on Life. Just search for us there. And if you want to drop us a line, you can email me at ryan@hightechonlife.com, hitechonlife.com. You can also go to High Tech on Life and look at all the episodes there. We have them kind of laid out in sequential order. If you would like, also, I would like to say that everything is free. All the content that I'm creating and these podcasts that I'm putting out every single day is free. It doesn't cost you a dime. It is something that I enjoy doing and I enjoy sharing my opinion with someone other than, you know, the same people each day. I think it's fun to kind of throw ideas off of others that I don't normally interact with. So please interact, please comment. It's fun to have the comment streams going on. And it kind of opens up the conversation beyond these podcasts because I do pre-record these and then release them. So I want to hear back from you guys. So remember, everything's free. just share with others, and we can really get a good community going on here. All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in. This has been part 3 of the Tesla Week, and we will see you tomorrow in part 4.